Throughout this summer, we have been focusing on sermons mainly upon some of the lesser-known people in the book of Acts. The regular common folks rather than the headliners like the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. And part of the reason for turning our focus in this way is that sometimes the really well-known people like Peter and Paul and others, they did such extraordinary things. And they are wired in such unusual ways, and they are part of the dramaticness of God going on, that sometimes they can seem a little bit remote from us, like characters in a story rather than flesh and blood people. So we've been turning to people like Ananias and Tabitha and Cornelius and Lydia and others, common folk. And today we'll hear about a Jewish Christian couple named Priscilla and Aquila. They're only mentioned briefly in the New Testament, just a few times. But it's obvious from what Paul wrote later about them that they were a crucial part of his life and ministry. In the closing chapter of Paul's most significant work, the letter of Romans, toward the end of Romans he writes, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful for them." Two other times Paul writes about them, naming them always as a couple and always naming her first as a sort of way of honoring her. Priscilla and Aquila, good friends of Paul's. And that's what we'll focus on today, the value of friends, of friendship, of having close and enduring friends, and our need to be friends to others. I titled the sermon for today, Staying Friends. And it's a double entendre. It has two meanings. The first meaning is obvious. Staying friends as in remaining friends through thick and thin. And a lot of us have friends who we've stayed friends with them through years. The other meaning is the less common use of the word stay, and it means to be a support, like a stay on a sailboat that helps hold up the mast. Or some of us have shirts sometimes with a collar stay that keeps them from bending. Stay in that term, like an anchor or support. Staying friends means continuing as friends and being a stabilizing presence in someone's life. So the question comes, what does it mean to be friends who stay like this, remaining and supporting, committed for the long haul no matter what comes, and being a stable point for others? Before I read the text, just a little bit of context. As I said, Priscilla and Aquila were Jewish Christians, grown up Jewish, became Christians. Aquila was in the region that used to be called Pontus, which is now Turkey. It's up along the south shore of the Black Sea. We can assume that Priscilla was from there too, although that's not named. They were Turkish, so they were Arabic and Greek speaking. And they were tent makers, or also called leather workers. That means that they worked with leather and fabric to make tents and other protective shelter and clothing. It's the same trade that Paul was in, that Paul learned to support his ministry. Being a leather worker or tent maker was a needed profession, but it was considered unclean for Jews because to work with leather meant handling the carcasses of dead animals and scraping the flesh. So tent makers or leather workers needed continual ritual cleansing if they were Jewish. Sometime earlier, Priscilla and Aquila had relocated from Pontus up in northern Turkey to Italy, to Rome, a long, long way from the Black Sea. And we can only assume that it was for that tent-making business. But in Rome, the emperor, Claudius, who was based in Rome, and who was known to be unstable and very paranoid, he suddenly booted all Christians out of Rome. Apparently the Jews in Rome were complaining about all the things that followers of Jesus were doing, that it traveled to Claudius, and he kicked out all the Christians. So Priscilla and Aquila sailed east across the Adriatic Sea to Greece. into a very busy commercial hub, the city of Corinth, which also had a widespread reputation as being very pagan and X-rated. So it was here in that sprawling sort of New Orleans at Mardi Gras time type of setting that Paul heard about and then began working with Priscilla and Aquila doing tent making. And friendship was formed. It became a staying friendship. Acts 18 is a challenge to read in terms of tracking Paul's movements. I don't know if you've read through Acts 18 with a map, but I did last week, and following the story of Paul from Corinth to Ephesus to Caesarea to Jerusalem to Galatia and Phrygia, in this one chapter, Paul is all over the place. But clearly a constant for him was this friendship he had with Priscilla and Aquila, co-workers in Christ. So listen as I read from the beginning and the end of Acts 18. After this, meaning after a dialogue in Athens, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. And then jumping to verse 18. Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the believers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchreae because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail for Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of Scripture. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the believers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. There's a lot of threads in this passage, but I want to focus on that theme of friends. And as with you, so in my life, there's this very broad spectrum of people. From total strangers to closest, dearest friends. And it's kind of wedge-shaped. On the one side, there's this enormous amount of people, strangers that I see on the highway or at the grocery store, sometimes interacting with them, but not knowing names, not really having a relationship. And then the wedge kind of narrows to neighbors and acquaintances, people I may recognize, maybe I know their names. And then it narrows a bit more to people I genuinely call my friends. And then it narrows and it narrows and it comes down to that small group that are my very closest friends ever. I'm sure it's the same for most of you. So I have a question. How do people move from that large end of the wedge to that small point? From being strangers or just acquaintances to becoming our closest friends? And what factors into friends like that? What is it to be that type of friend on the small end of the wedge, to be that type of friend to others? There's history, of course. Some closest friends have been friends for as long as we can remember. And there are circumstances, events, sometimes traumatic ones that bind us together in ways that are almost inexpressible. And then there are common interests, our go-to people when we want to go out and do things. We call these people, we connect with them. And then there's that gift of common faith, where we pray together and worship together. And we have this rich body of faith that binds us. Who are those people for you? And how did they become such close and binding friends for you? Think of someone who fits with what Madeleine L'Engle wrote about a friend of my right hand, that type of friend. Or what Tish Harrison Warren, an Anglican priest, wrote. She said, true friends are people who are willing to get in the muck with me, who see me as I am, and who speak to me of our hope in Christ in the midst of all the muck. Who is that for you? A staying friend. And for whom are you that type of friend? And more pointedly, for whom might you become that type of friend, but you're not there yet? Someone who you might intentionally befriend who's not already on your short list of closest friends. Closest and most reliable friends have that staying capacity. Remaining friends through thick and thin, whether we are likable or lovable or not. But also staying friends in terms of being a support, being an anchor, a stabilizing influence in our lives. That's what it is to be a staying friend. During an intense time years ago in our first church, the first church Sid and I served, there's a man there that I thought of as a friend. We'd gotten to know each other. We had lunches together, long conversations. We played racquetball together. Our families got together. I was his pastor and he was a church leader. And it was friendship. There was an ease and comfortability and a lot of things shared. He was someone I leaned on wisely, I thought. But during that intense time of conflict, with sides being formed, he asked to meet with me one day. And here's basically what he said. I think you're being treated very unfairly. It's wrong. But I can't stand by you anymore. I have to do business in this town, and if I stand by you, it's going to hurt my business. I'm sorry, but I need to step away. And he walked away from me. Not from the church. He stayed active in the church, but away from me. And it killed our friendship. But there were other friends who didn't walk, who stood up and who spoke up on our behalf. And there were other friends who offered just to listen and who prayed and who heard us and cried with us and who stood by us no matter what. And all these years later, those are some of our very closest friends ever. We're getting together with two of them tonight. Priscilla and Aquila were friends who stayed. They didn't walk. They worked with Paul in tent making and in church planting. As we heard in the text, they sailed with him across the Aegean Sea to Ephesus. And to do this was neither a short trip nor an easy one. It was a deadly business sailing, especially in the first century compared to today. But they sailed with him to Ephesus, which is maybe what Paul referenced at the end of Romans when he said, when he thanked Priscilla and Aquila, saying, they risked their necks for me, and I and all the other Gentile churches are grateful for them. And then as we heard in Acts 18, when an enthusiastic preacher came to Ephesus after Paul left, Priscilla and Aquila, supporting what Paul had already been doing there, they invited this powerful preacher named Apollos. They invited him to stay in their home, and they wisely taught him things about Jesus and the ways of God that he didn't yet know. Priscilla and Aquila opened themselves to Paul as Paul opened himself to them and to all kinds of things that God was doing. They stayed with Paul. They were staying friends. So who's like that for you? And for whom are you like that? But hold on to that question. Because I want to turn our focus on friendship away from just being all about us and about our already close set of friends. Because we know that that circle of closest friends, that isn't wide open, not just anybody can enter it, doesn't grow overnight. It takes time. It takes experiences. But I want to broaden how we think about our role as friends, as staying friends, to broaden it to include others, people we may not even know right now or don't know very well, or people we maybe even haven't even considered developing a friendship with because we're maybe so different from each other. We have a lot of lonely and hurting people in this world. We know that. Whether we're alert to it or not, we know it. Some are sitting here this morning. Maybe you are one of them, or the person in front of you or behind you. Some carry their hurt and loneliness in ways that are obvious, but for others, not so much. It's covered over, and maybe they don't feel safe to let it be known, except in actual friendship. One of the beautiful gifts about offering friendship to others, offering genuine care and love, listening and staying, is that sense of safety that then grows up between people. A sense of honoring each other as we listen to each other's lives and hear each other's hurts and stand by each other rather than just rolling past because we're so busy. We know that in this world and in this country there are a lot of broken systems and injustices which are crushing people's hopes and lives. Things that some of us take for granted are denied to others. Out of reach. And there's a lot of tension between groups, race, politics, gender issues. There are a lot of hot button issues today that inflame and shut things down and wall off friendships. And we can't fix all of these. We know that. But we can step into the ring on behalf of others. And one of those crucial steps in stepping into the ring on behalf of others is that fundamentally important thing in life called friendship. Just friendship. Friendship says, I see you. I hear you. I know your name. I want to know more about you and let you know more about me. Friendship says, I'm here with you. I may not understand all that you're going through, but my hands are open. And we know that when someone becomes our friend, when we hear them and stand by them and understand a little bit more of what life is for them, then they become part of the lens through which we see life because they are now our friend. They're part of our lives. And our perspectives and our lives expand from mere assumptions and stereotypes to friendship. Part of our call as followers of Jesus is to be on our guard against shoring up just our own bases and our own circles of friends. And we know we can do that. We can go there really easily. And we can forget, we get too busy, we just stay with our own. But this life we're given through Jesus Christ is so much broader than just that tight circle. It's not just about us, and we know that. It's about making Jesus visible to others through our lives, through our words, our actions, our priorities, our pace. It's about being to others the embodiment of the grace and love and mercy that has been so freely given to us. And we can share it with others. It's about standing by people in need, looking for them, and even moving closer to them. Seeing them, hearing them, knowing them, and staying in it with them as best we can, not trying to fix everything, but being a staying friend. It's the very thing Jesus did with others. He did this with Roman centurions and Samaritan lepers, with a woman at a well, and with his own dull-witted disciples. He stayed. He talked, he listened. He dignified, he blessed, he loved. He sought out the broken and sat by the complicated. He stayed on the margins with people, becoming their friend in all the muck of life. And for some, he became their Savior. And he's called us to move in that very same direction. His words, "Follow me," include all of those. So listen to Jesus' words that we heard earlier. "You're my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Being called a friend of Jesus, or as we sang about just a little bit ago, "I'm a friend of God." This is not just about me and my own stuff, or you and your own stuff, and our tight circles of friends, as valuable as those are. It's about an expanding life. An expanding life. It's about going where He prompts us to go, to whom He prompts us to go. It's about being part of the kingdom of God things. It's about being like Priscilla and Aquila in their welcome of Paul and his welcome of them, and working together like they did in tent making, church planting, sailing, and all the kingdom of God things that they didn't see coming. So may we be this for others, for each other, but also in an expanding way to others and others and others. Friends of Jesus who intentionally befriend others, standing up for, standing by, staying friends. Maybe even risking our necks for them, like Priscilla and Aquila did for Paul. All for the glory of God. Let's pray. God, we pray that you would use us in ways beyond what we ask or imagine. Bring us into things that only you could put together. Lord, we know that you were at work. We know we repeatedly hear that you love us, that you called us by name. Help us to live into this more and more day by day, including this very day. We pray all of this in your holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen.
I invite you to stand, and you can sing the words that are on the screen, or you can also look it up in your hymnal, hymn number 578. Let's sing together, "Thank You, God, for Sisters, Brothers."